scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Listen now to the word of God. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who was neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused. He finally said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I'll go into today's message, persistent faith. Well, when you think of the word persistent, it's not one that you would normally attach to faith and think of it as a very positive thing. Yeah, we don't even think about it really. But it's a quality of faith that I wanted to remind you of today. It's important. You know, it's what Jesus teaches us. And so, you know, there are many other words that you can attach to faith that are a little bit more attractive to us. It's stuff that you've heard before. But you don't really hear or you don't really learn about persistent faith. You know, persistence sometimes, I think, ends up being kind of an annoying word. You know, like when I thought of the word persistent, or when I thought of the idea of persistence, it reminded me of the time that I went to Korea. It's been a long time that I went to Korea, since I've gone to Korea. But when I was 17 years old, you know, off of my high school graduation, we took a family trip and we went to Korea. And one of the experiences that remains in my mind that I cannot forget, I think is the difference in what you see in the type of behavior in like a department store. So generally, when you go to a department store in America, you know, you can go and you can browse the sections, you can just kind of walk around and you can shop, you can look at stuff. And, you know, if there's a good kind of associate there, they might come over and say, "Oh, do you need help?" And usually, you know, we'll just say something like, "No, I'm okay," or "No, I'm good." Or if you do have a question, you can ask a question. But generally, they'll kind of leave you alone. They'll let you shop. They give you space. And one of the things that really stood out to me from my trip to Korea was when I walked through the department stores and the sales associates were kind of like running up to me, pulling my arm, you know, like saying like, "Oh, come here, look at the clothes here, it'll be perfect for you. Oh, this is in style. Oh, we have really good prices." And they would not leave me alone. And it was almost kind of like a culture shock for me. I know it's not a very serious thing. It's a very, you know, silly example. But they were so persistent to the point where it was almost fierce. And I was like, no, I'm okay. Like, I'm not looking at jackets right now. And they're like, no, come. Like, you have to look. And they would almost like pull my arm. And I would say, no. And they would just persist. "You have to take a look. Just at least look at the prices. At least come over to my section. At least just try it on. You'll see how good it looks on you. And then you can't help but buy it." And I was just kind of like, wow. And I was with my aunt and my uncle. And I looked at them and I was like, "Is this what Korean department stores are like?" And they were like, "Oh my goodness. You know, like, this isn't even that bad. You know, like, sometimes when you walk through the marketplaces, when you go out to the outdoor marketplaces, they're even worse. They're so persistent. And sometimes I just buy something just so that they'll leave me alone. Just so that they'll stop talking to me. It's worth my $5 or my $10, you know, the equivalent in one, right? And, you know, it was kind of like a funny exchange. And it's just seeing like my aunt going like, oh my goodness. You know, like it's like, it's kind of embarrassing that Korea is like this, but they're like, oh, they're so persistent. And so in a way, this idea of being really, really persistent, I think in my mind at least, it kind of stuck to me as something that's like nagging, something that's annoying. And it doesn't have like a great connotation. So to attach it to the word with faith, to attach it together with faith, doesn't seem like a very natural pairing. But we learn, and what we are taught today, is that is a quality of faith that we're supposed to have. And you know, like among all the other things, a great faith, you know, unshakable faith. No, a quality of faith that we are to have as the people of God is a persistent faith. And so today's story, Jesus is sharing a parable, and hey, I don't know about you, but when I read his parable, when I read his words, I can sense that he's almost being pretty humorous. He's being, you know, like the story is not super serious. There's a lesson in it, of course. And there's something that he wants us to learn about faith, about God's people, about the way that we're supposed to interact with God. But this story, it makes me chuckle when I read it. It makes me kind of like laugh when I think about the idea. We have this person that's described as an unjust judge. This is a judge that doesn't care about anything. He's not fair. He's not an honorable person. It's just an unjust judge. It's the worst quality you can have as a judge, to be unjust. And yet he's kind of the person that, you know, Jesus uses it as the example. And what does this judge have? Why does he have to listen to a widow? You know, the widow doesn't have any standing. The widow doesn't have any power. She doesn't have any influence. She can literally do nothing to the judge. And so we get this kind of relationship between a judge who has power, this widow who is powerless, and who, you know, the judge doesn't owe her anything. On top of that, it's an unjust judge. A judge who doesn't really care. A judge who doesn't even fear God. And so Jesus kind of sets the setting. And these are all little things that we should pick up on when we read the Word of God together. But Jesus was an excellent storyteller. He was amazing at the settings and, you know, getting you to right, you know, to the core of the message through a story. And he sets the scene up in that way. And it's a lesson that he's teaching to the disciples. It's a lesson that he's teaching to each and every one of us today. It's actually a story that I've never heard preached to me. When I was reading through the book of Luke, I was like, oh, you know, interesting that Jesus teaches us to be this way. I've never been encouraged to be like this, partially because it seems kind of annoying to be this way. But, you know, Jesus, in his wisdom and in the knowledge of the kingdom that he has, knowing his Father, knowing his Father's heart, he says, this is how you should be. You know, you should be this way. And it's a lesson about the way that we pray, the way that we interact and relate with God, and never giving up, the hope that we have, you know, and the kind of endurance that we have to continue, to be hopeful people, to be faithful people, to be persistent people. It also teaches us about a level of patience that we generally don't see in the generation today. We are the generation of kind of instant gratification. One of the great joys in my life was when Amazon started doing one-day shipping, as if two-day shipping wasn't fast enough. You know, there was a moment where they were like, okay, we're going to do Prime shipping. It's going to be one day. And I was like, wow, I can literally buy something and it will come tomorrow. And that's like, that's instant gratification. I can just browse and like, oh, I need that. I'll buy it and it'll be at my doorstep. And now, you know, as stupid as it is, it's kind of like, I have to wait a week for this? I have to wait 2 days? What kind of service is this? We get used to this idea of instant gratification. We have instant information. You don't have to look things up. It doesn't take time. You don't take time to research things anymore. You can just, it's at the palm of your hands. You can get news and social media's instant. And Twitter's instant. You get instant updates. You know, my friends that do fantasy football, it's not about like weekly articles anymore. You get instant Twitter updates. You know, on the fly. You can kind of like follow sports as they come because you have instant information, instant gratification. And oftentimes when we don't receive that, we get frustrated. And one of the qualities I think that's very harmful for our faith is that when we hope for something, when we ask for something, when we're praying about something, if it doesn't come right away, you know, it just leaves us disappointed and we just kind of move on. We don't have kind of a faith that will fight for long periods of time. You know, we're more short spurts faith people. And I think this passage is trying to teach us something beyond that. It's trying to teach us about patience. It's trying to teach us about endurance. Is trying to tell us that sometimes the fight is long. Sometimes you have to hang in there. Sometimes you have to go the full rounds. You know, and you're tired. And sometimes it leaves you a little bit weary. But persistent faith is something that God seeks from His people. You know, the end of this story is, you know, when the Son of Man comes, is He going to find any faith? Or are we a generation that's just kind of given up? Are we a generation that decided it's not happening? You know, why do we pray about these things anymore? Why do we hope for things anymore? Now, I'll be honest, I shared this with our Friday Bible study group, and, you know, we are called to be people of hope, but it's hard sometimes. If I'm honest about, you know, my humanness, you know, when I see the news, when I see, you know, social media posts, I make the mistake sometimes of reading comments, reading the comment section. It's something that I need to stop doing, but you know, I just want to see people's reactions. I just want to get an idea of kind of the climate of the social circumstance in this country and around this world. I make the mistake of reading comments too much. But when I see it, it leaves me feeling so down. It leaves me feeling kind of a lot of despair. It leaves me feeling hopeless sometimes. It brings a lot of darkness into my life, if I'm, you know, being open and honest about that stuff. When I see kind of some of the things that are going on in our country, the divides, the walls, and the different groups, and the way that they interact with each other, and the hateful language, and you know, just a lot of the divisiveness that I see in our country and, you know, around the world, frankly. And it gets hard to pray for a better day. It gets hard to see that we will get to a place where there's love, where there's acceptance, where there's respect, where we can honor one another, even when we have differences of opinions. It's hard to imagine a society in which we can listen well to people who have different backgrounds and different viewpoints, different perspectives. Even the church. Sometimes looking at the response of the church to some of the things that are going on in the country, it leaves me feeling like, will we ever get there? You know, will God ever answer these prayers? Will we ever be seen as just one people? Be able to really see the image of God in one another. You know, we still see acts of police brutality. We still see acts of injustice against different people groups. And sometimes it gets hard to continue to pray and to continue to fight. It gets hard to constantly pray for God's justice to reign in this world. And though, as a pastor, I teach our students to eagerly await that day, you know, when justice is revealed, when society is kind of healed and mended, honestly, it's hard. it's not easy to continue to fight. Just think about some of the things that have been going on in the past few weeks. You know, even with some of the rallies, even with the protests, it gets hard to maintain that momentum. It gets hard to continue to fight. Persistence and endurance are not something that come easy. It's something that you have to work towards. It's something that you have to fight for. In the same way, Jesus is teaching us about the way that we're supposed to pray, the way that we interact with God, the way that we ask God for things. And, you know, sometimes it's like, wow, we ask once, and then we expect it to happen right away. We expect it to happen with one day shipping. And when it doesn't come, we're like, where is it? You know, did the package get lost? Are you even listening? You know, do you even have the ability to do what I'm asking you to do, or to fulfill the request? Like, God, are you there? And it fills us with frustration. And to be open and vulnerable, I feel like my prayer life has been a little bit like that these days. Just because of what's been on my heart, what I've been praying for, and continuing to see kind of society continue down kind of the unhealthy patterns. And it's, you know, like praying, God, help this society, help this world, help this country. You know, change the hearts of leaders, change the hearts of the church, change the hearts of the people and the communities that we live in. And when it seems like things are getting worse, it's hard to continue to pray those prayers. And if you've ever felt like that, if you've ever wanted something really deeply, really put a lot of heart into it, or you put your passion into it, and you prayed for it, and it felt like it didn't happen, and then you can probably relate. Then you probably understand. But what does the story say? It says, there's a judge. Didn't fear God. He was unjust. Didn't care what people thought. And there's a widow. And this widow is just saying, grant me justice. Do right by me. But the quality of the widow is not that she was so wise. It's not that she was powerful or influential. It's not that she convinced him. She didn't use intellect or logic or reasoning. She didn't bring him gifts. She didn't try to bribe him. What was the quality that she brought? Annoying persistence. She just latched on. She just decided, I'm not giving up until this guy listens to me. Whatever it was, they don't describe what happened or what injustice she suffered. They don't describe who her adversary was. But whatever it was important enough that she did not give up. How many times must he have ignored her? How many times must he have just dismissed her? Who cares about this powerless, this weak widow? Who cares about her rights? She doesn't even have it. Like, what does it matter what she thinks? But for the sheer annoyance, the sheer diligence, the sheer persistence. Like, he just saw her and he was like, she's not gonna give up. She's gonna continue to do this. She's gonna keep saying these things to me until she might even do something to harm me. She's a crazy person. Like, what is wrong with this lady? That's probably what he was thinking. And it, you know, like, in a sense, it paints kind of a comical picture of his response, right? He's like, I don't want her to go crazy and do something harmful to me, right? She might attack me. You know, like, it sounds silly. But that's the quality that made him listen. That's the quality that made him respond and react. And maybe that's something that's missing in our generation. Maybe that's something that's missing in our prayer lives. Maybe that's something that's missing in the faith of the church. That we're not persistent with God. That we don't have long endurance. That we're not willing to hang in there in the fight. we try and then it's like, oh, doesn't seem like it's working out. Let's go a different route. Let's find a different avenue to receive the instant gratification. If God won't listen, if God won't help us, let's look for something else that might satisfy this desire. Let's find an alternative. You can quickly make idols by going down that route. But God is the one who hears. God is the one who sees. God is the one who is powerful and who is strong enough to do something about your circumstance. You want healing in this generation? God is someone who can do something about it. You want justice? God can bring justice in this world. You want unity? God's unity is the one that we seek. And He's the one that can provide it. And maybe it's those are the kinds of things that we need to be persistent in our prayer lives. We know that these two ideas, you know, they tie together, your persistence and your faith. Because your faith is an understanding that something is happening. That you're believing in something that you can't see right now. That you're trusting in someone, even though you don't see evidence of it working out right in front of you. You still hold on to hope. You trust. You believe. And that's the generation of people that I think God is looking for right now. People with persistent faith. People who will fight to the end. People who will hang in there. Dogged determination. God, I'm not leaving until you listen to me. God, I'm going to pray this prayer until I see it fulfilled. I'm not going to give up on the church. I'm not going to give up on society. I'm not going to give up on my country. I'm not going to give up on the things that my heart and my soul are passionate about. I'm going to pray about those things until I start seeing a turnaround. I'm going to remain in the fight. I'm going to be here. And at the end of this story, you know, after this unjust judge is like, just get away from me. Okay, I'll listen to you. Just and what Jesus says is, if the unjust, kind of rotten judge will do that, how much more so than your Father in heaven who loves you, who cares about you, you know, who truly has love for you? Won't he listen to his people? Won't he listen to his children? Be persistent in your faith. God hears you. You know, and youth group students who are very passionate about the things that you're passionate about, you want to see change? Pray about it. Don't just post about it. Pray about it. You know, back up your thoughts or back up your words with your prayerful action. You know who can do something about it? God can do something about it. He's strong enough to do something about all the injustices that we see in this world. Have you been putting your prayer life and your faith life behind those things? We look to God. And we are persistent with God. God, you have to hear me. You have to listen to me. I'm going to keep praying this prayer until I see it start turning. Until I start seeing the change. Until I can see the fulfillment. The unjust judge even did something. How much more so someone who is just, someone who cares, someone who is powerful enough to do something. He's listening. Be persistent in your faith. Be persistent in your prayers. Be annoying to God. That's what Jesus teaches to the disciples. Be annoying to God to the point where He will not turn away. He will not leave you there. He will not forsake you. Nothing can separate you from His love. He's for you. He's not against you. Come to Him with your petitions. Come to Him with your prayers. Be persistent. Be annoying. The end of the story, he says. And it will come, and it will come quickly. If there's a generation that's willing to be persistent, it will come, and it will come quickly. But it leaves us, each and every one of us today, with a question. And the story doesn't end with a conclusion. It doesn't end with a summary. It doesn't end with nice words. It's a question. It's a question that Jesus is leaving for his disciples. It's a question that he's asking to each and every one of us today. It's a question that's meant to make us reflect on the faith lives that we've been living up till this point, and a question that's supposed to motivate us and convict our hearts towards what we are going to do in the future. How will you live your life? How will you pray? How will you show your faith? Because he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in this earth? Will he find faith in this generation? When the Son of God comes, will he see that you were faithful, that you were persistent, that you stayed in the fight? It's a question. It's a question that's being asked to each and every one of you as individuals. And maybe everybody else is unfaithful, but will you be faithful? Maybe the generations and the times, they don't really promote faith. They don't promote perseverance. They don't promote endurance. They don't promote persistence. Maybe everything that, you know, we're living in today, it teaches us instant gratification. It teaches us to be disappointed. But when Christ looks at you, when Christ looks into your life and into your heart, when Christ comes into this world, will he find a generation of faith? Will he find any faith in this world? He will if we will stand up and we will start living out this persistent faith. If we will be the ones to do it. If his people, if the body of Christ will start doing it. Then he will come and he'll say, there's the faith. That's what I was talking about. You annoying widows. I was listening. I'm here to bring justice. And that's what I hope he finds in the body of Christ. He finds that persistent faith, the persistent faith that stayed there true, stayed there solid through all the ups and downs of life. And I hope that's something that you will take into your heart. And remember this story. Be the nagging widow. Be strong, be patient. Persevere, have endurance in your prayer life, in your relationship with God, be persistent. It's a quality of faith that Jesus Christ is seeking among his disciples, among his people. And it's one that I hope you take into your heart today. It's one that I hope that the body of Christ, that the church of God, will take into our hearts. And that when Christ comes, he will look at the earth. And it won't be a question, but he will find that there was faith. There were people. There was a generation. There was a church. There was a youth group. There was a student. There was one person who had faith through all the ups and downs of life.